want you to go back to the Genesis chapter 1. In verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. That's an important little phrase there. The seed is in itself. Everything that God planted was able to reproduce, except man. We're only just learning how it's possible for us to reproduce. But everything else, all of the plants, all of the trees, everything can reproduce. And so it says here, bringing forth after its kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So when God created the heavens and the earth, he designed it so that everything would reproduce exactly what God had planted. And so God didn't have to plant, a 1,000 mango trees. He only had to plant one, and that tree could produce enough to, fill the next area, and then those, when they reproduced, they could bring forth another area. So it's very important for us to understand that the seed is always in whatever God created. And that, of course, means the same for us, that the seed must be in us, that is, for reproduction. Now remember that the seed, of course, is in the fruit. So what is it that produces the fruit in us? Well, it's Christ. We can't produce the fruit ourselves, but it's the Christ who produces the fruit. Therefore, the seed is in him. In fact, Christ is the seed. In Galatians chapter 3, and verse 16. Chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, now to Abraham and his seed was the promises made. He said, not as to seeds, but or as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So Christ is the seed of God. And the only thing that we can reproduce is whatever the seed is. So we can only reproduce Christ from the seed. But of course, we can reproduce otherwise without using the seed of God. In other words, we can, study our Bible. We can come up with a whole lot of answers about, how everything works and so on. And we think that we can produce something for God out of ourselves. The truth is that you cannot produce anything for God except the Christ. If you go back now to Genesis chapter 1 again, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, he says here, and God blessed them, or him it should be, because it was Christ Jesus. It wasn't them, it wasn't Adam and Eve, because they weren't in the picture, or Eve wasn't in the picture at that point. So it says here, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So, the man that was created in Genesis 1:26 was Christ Jesus. That's who he was. The only son that God ever created. God never created two sons, only one. Why was that? Because he didn't need to create another son. Because that son was the seed of God. So we start off with the seed of God right at the beginning. And it means that if we are to reproduce, this is the only thing that God is interested in us reproducing. It's the seed of God. So Genesis 1 verse 28, this is the God speaking to his son, Christ Jesus, and says to him, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. I believe that this was what God intended for all of us. God intended that all of us should reproduce the seed of God. Now, of course, you might ask the question then, how can we reproduce? Because the way we have reproduced since Adam was on the outside of the garden was that we need our wife. Us men, we need our wife in order to procreate. The man is not able to procreate on his own, so he needs his wife. And the wife contributes the egg, and the man contributes the seed. But that's the seed of man. So when we give birth to children in this fashion, we are giving birth to the seed of man, not the seed of God. And that's why so many Christians today, they have a very unhappy time. You know, the Lord said to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, he said, in sorrow are you going to bring forth children. In sorrow. It didn't mean that childbirth was going to be a very painful process like lots of women seem to understand or think. That's not what he really was saying. He was saying that the child that is produced by the seed of man is going to be a sorrow for you, perhaps, for the rest of your life. Well, just think about Eve. Well, the first child that she gives birth to is Cain. She has to live with this all the rest of her life. He was a murderer. You see? And how many Christians today just cry unto the Lord, look at my son, he's out there doing this and doing that crazy stuff. We cannot guarantee that we will use the seed of God in order for our procreation. Because we're using the seed of man. There's got to be a change somewhere. So you and I have to learn a new way of reproduction. A completely new way. In order for us to do what he's told that man to do, which is the first man God created, which was Christ Jesus. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it and so on. So if that's the case, then we need to understand how that's going to happen. Because to begin to reproduce, we have to first of all understand how the process really works. Why was it that this man was given that right or that authority to reproduce? or responsibility probably is a better word. He was given a responsibility to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth. How could he do that? Well, it was very simple. Because didn't God say that the seed was in everything that he made? So all of the trees, all of the herbs, all of the flowers, and everything else on the earth, every one of them had a seed in there so it could reproduce. But it will only reproduce what the seed is. You can't make that seed bring forth something else. You cannot plant a tomato seed out there and expect to get a watermelon. You can't expect that because it's not going to work. It's whatever the seed is, that's what the offspring is going to be. So if we are using the way by which we normally procreate, that is, that the woman provides the egg and the man provides the seed, that's birthing by the seed of man. And that cannot be the seed of God. So this is the problem that we face, and many people have never found the solution to this. How could it be? Well, if we go back to the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And here is a kind of a play here, if you like. It's like a parable where there's a woman here who is searching for her lover. This is a picture of people in the world today. They are searching for their true lover. Not ringing up one of these hotlines and they'll give you 10 men to choose from for you women, you know, or if you're a woman, well, they'll give you 10 men to choose from and you take your pick and so on. No, we're not talking about anything like this. You see, God has supplied the seed for all reproduction, But we have been happy and satisfied to use the seed of man. And so, many times, as Christians, our children do not walk in the ways of God. They go wild and do all kinds of crazy things. So, what are we to do about this? Can we change anything? Well, of course we can. That's very, very important. So I want you to turn now to Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 13, and it says, the same day that Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now this is obviously a farmer, and he's got his plot there of agriculture, or he's got it all prepared, it's been turned over with the plow and so on, and it's all ready now, and he's going out to plant the seed. And it says here, when he sowed the seed, verse 4, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell by the stony places, where there wasn't much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth, that when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. So we've got a little parable here of a man who is a farmer. He knows what he's doing, and he goes out there to sow the seed. So he says, here's the sower, and it's, of course, it's not with one of the big combines that we have today in Australia, where they have, you know, 1,000 acres to put under wheat or something, and they have these great machines to plant it all. No, this is just in the olden days when a man just went out, he had a basket or whatever and the seed, and he just walked around the field and he just threw the corn out like this. So it says that the seed was, he used the seed, which was right. It was what he wanted. It may have been corn, it may have been wheat, whatever, it doesn't matter. It says here that some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. So there is a way by which we can sow the seed. Now, we are supposed to be sowing the seed, but first of all, we are supposed to be sowing the seed for ourselves. In other words, we are sowing the seed that is going to produce what God requires, which is Christ. Well, we have to learn how to do that, because you and your husband or you and your wife are not going to be able to do that, because it will be the seed of man, and therefore it's not going to be Christ. Now, you have to understand that Christ, if we go back now, we'll come to this again, because there are many things here to learn. But in chapter 1 of Genesis again, and verse 27, it says here, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he him. So now we understand that when God created the man, that man was not a mortal human being. You understand this? It was not a mortal human being. It was Christ. And he was the Son of God, and he was spirit. He had no body. He was pure spirit. This is interesting for us to understand. That's why he was the one that God said, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He didn't say that to Adam on the outside of the garden. He said it to the Christ, who was the first man that he created. So, if he was Christ, then he was the seed of God. Isn't that right? That's what the Word declares. That Christ is the seed of God. That's Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. He is the seed of God. And that's why in James chapter 1 and verse 18, we are told there that first man was in fact the first fruit of God's planting, the first fruit. So that first fruit was Christ. It was not the mortal man that's walking on the earth today. That man didn't show up until the woman was taken out of the man. So we'll go to chapter 2 and verse 21. And it says here, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead. And the rib which the Lord had taken from the man made he a woman. So, here's the Lord God taking the female part out of Adam. Now, if you take the female part out of us, which is the same thing, we are not capable of reproducing the Christ. Why? Because the seed is not there. Because the female part of the Spirit is missing. Man was created male and female as he came from God. That is the Spirit. He was a spirit being first. You were a spirit being first. That's why you were in God before you were ever born onto this earth. You were in God. And he was there from eternity past, and you were in him. So now we understand that the man that God created was male and female, functioning together as one. He was spirit. And that spirit is the seed of God. And you cannot find that seed anywhere else except in Christ. Well, now, isn't it interesting that God has put the Christ in every one of us? He's put the Christ in us. Why? Because that's our true identity. You understand? This is Christ in us, is the offspring of God. Therefore, he is the seed of God, and therefore, while he is in us, we have the possibility of being able to reproduce the Christ. He's not asking any one of us to birth a mortal human being. Because a mortal human being is just going to look back to their mother. And they're going to say, yes, well, so many years ago, you see, my mother birthed me from her womb. She birthed me into this world. That's where I came from. See, that's why Nicodemus could not understand when Jesus said, you've got to be born from above, not from below, as it is with the woman. You must be born from above. So this is very important. But you see, we have not understood this, that God created the man, male and female, functioning together as one. So, what does this man do? This is Christ Jesus. In chapter 2 and verse 7, it says that the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground. Now, it says he formed the man. Actually, that wasn't the man, that was his body. And the body is not you. The body is not you. You are spirit. That's what God created in the beginning. You are spirit. And that spirit does not look back to see a little fetus being formed in your mother's womb. No more than the eagle up on a high crag of rock on top of a high mountain, and here's a little egg there, and suddenly you hear a little bit of noise of chipping going on, and there's a little eagle in there that's chipping his way out of that egg. And when he steps out of that egg, what does he do with the egg? Nothing. I mean, does he keep it as a memento? No. Why? Because whatever was in that egg no longer exists. Now, this eagle has life. It can stretch its wings and take off and soar into the heavens. You see. So you and I have to understand that we're not looking back to our birth into this world through our mother. That was for the production of your body. This is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And the Apostle Paul says that your body is God's workmanship. It was not created. You hear this? Your body was never created. It was formed. And that in Genesis 2:21, 2:7, the body was formed. That wasn't Adam. That was his body. He was not a man in the same essence in which God speaks of man until the Lord God breathed into the nostrils of that body the breath of life. And then he became, later on, a living soul. He wasn't a living soul at that moment, because he had just received the life of God. Therefore, he was spirit, just like the one that reproduced him. So, this is interesting now, because if he could reproduce himself, well then, the man in the garden, which is Adam, with a body, now must be the same. He is Christ. Why? Because it was through the seed of God. Christ reproduced out of himself the man to live in the garden. And therefore he was Christ the same as the man that God created in the beginning. Now let me tell you something interesting. In that Christ was all of mankind. They were in Christ. In that Christ was all of mankind. You understand this? That means that everybody on this earth really is an offspring of God. Because they have been birthed by the Christ back in Genesis 2, verse 7. He has birthed us in himself. So when you birth the Christ, according to Ephesians 2:10, you have birthed all of humanity. Are you following this? When you birth the Christ, you birth all of humanity, because everybody that's ever been born on this earth was in that Christ in the beginning. And that's why in James chapter 1 verse 18, it says, of his own will God begat us, that we might be a kind of first fruit. What is a kind of first fruit? It means a kind of Christ, because he's the first fruit. He was the first seed. And that's who we are. So when John speaks about you must be born from above, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about being birthed into the Christ. What does that mean? That means that your identity must have come out of him. Must have come out of Christ. Not just because he was created out of God, but because he, within himself, birthed all of humanity. And that's what he did when he brought forth that man in the Garden of Eden. That was Adam. When he brought forth that man, he brought that person out of the seed of God, because there was no woman there. There was no seed of man there. There was only the seed of God in Christ. So that's why Adam was Christ. He couldn't be anything else. So now, not only are we the product of the Christ, but we are also the product of Adam. And of course, you remember that he was put into a deep sleep. This is verse 21, chapter 2 of Genesis. It says that he was put into a deep sleep. And while he's under that deep sleep, he is operated on. And the female part is taken out of him. Remember that he was male and female, because he was Christ. He was male and female. But now the female has been taken out, so now he is just male. Or more accurately, he became the woman, one with the woman. He said, you are bone of my bones, you are flesh of my flesh. So he became exactly what the woman was. Which means that now his true identity has been lost. Because the female part now is missing from all of us. Because we believe that the female was taken out of us. How do we know? Well, what did God say? For this cause, man would leave his father and his mother and would cleave to his wife, and the two would become one flesh. That's marriage. Why do we do that? We do that because we believe that the woman was taken out of us. And we're looking for our soulmate, as some people call it, you know, or whatever. But the fact is, we were looking for the woman, who is a part of our identity. You getting this so far? Because these are the issues that we have really, we've just sidestepped. We didn't understand. So now, I've got something to tell you. And you'll need to ponder this, but I'm going to tell you the truth anyway. The woman was never taken out of Adam. Why not? Because it is an impossibility to separate the male from the female in the spirit. It is an impossibility. First of all, in the Bible, spirit has no gender. It is male and female functioning together as one. So it's not functioning as a male, and it's not functioning as a female. It's functioning as a male and a female that function together as one. Now, you understand this one? You see, we've all believed that the woman was taken out of us. But if God created the man, male and female, and that man was in the image and the likeness of God, then if you could take the male and the female, if you could take the spirit apart, you could take God apart. But you cannot do that. God is male and female. That's why James tells us that he could procreate all of us. No problem. So now, because this never really happened, you say, why in the world did God go through this little pantomime with Adam? Well, because God wanted to bring the man to a place where he would have to find God again on the basis of love. You see, when you're talking about male and female functioning together as one, you are talking about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You can put this down too. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Your body is the members of Christ. What are the members of Christ? Male and female. Because Christ is spirit, male and female. So it says here, your bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? He said, God forbid. But see, that's what we've done. We went out there, found ourselves a wife, and then we used the woman to procreate. Well, it says here that we just made them the members of a harlot. He said, God forbid. Verse 16, don't you know that he which is joined to a harlot is one body, one flesh? You got this? That's one flesh, if you're just joined to one body. For two, he says, shall be one flesh. Verse 17, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Have you got that? He that's joined to the Christ is one spirit. Because Christ is male and female functioning together as one. So you see, when we understand this, we don't need to have a wife in order to procreate. But now, we're not talking about just having a bunch of children. I mean, when he talked to that first man in Genesis 1:28 and said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, he was not talking about getting a wife and then having, you know, millions of children. Well, see, I said to God when I was trying to understand this, I said, you know, my wife and I, we've had 5 children. We've got 17 grandchildren and a great heap of great-grandchildren and so on. You know, this is... And I think I've done my little bit toward filling the earth. And God said, no, you haven't got it straight at all. That's got nothing to do with it. You reproduced with the seed of man. And that's not what I wanted to fill the earth with. I did not want to fill the earth with the seed of man who could go out there and get drunk and crash your car into somebody else and kill half a dozen people or anything like that. You know? I didn't make you to go out and do crazy things. I wanted you to have seed which was the seed of God, which means that you must be male and female functioning together as one. And then you can reproduce. And that's how God reproduced all of us. He reproduced us in Christ. In Christ. And so, this is interesting because we have all believed the lie. We've all believed that the woman was taken out of us and therefore we have to leave our father and our mother, go out and find a wife, get married, so we can reproduce. But that wasn't reproduction according to the will and purpose of God. He wanted us to have children, who all of whom are the offspring of God. The offspring of God. So turn to Acts chapter 17. Chapter 17, in verse 26, he says, God has made of one blood all the nations on the earth to dwell. So God made them one blood. What's it mean? It means that every person on this planet has come out of God. Not because we reproduced as our children. No, no, no. It was because when God created that man, the first man, that was Christ Jesus, in that Christ was all of humanity, who are all the offspring of God. I would to God that the churches could learn this, because you see, they say, no, all of you people, you're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and God's got nothing to do with you unless you repent and give your heart to Jesus and a whole lot of other things. And I'm telling you the truth today. There's not one person on this planet that was not brought into being through Christ in creation. You see that? So then, of course, well, you know, you heard the story many times. People said to me, oh, you just believe that everybody's a Christian. I said, I never said that. But you believe that everybody's going to heaven. I said, I never even said that. I said everybody came out of God. That's what I said. I never said anything about being a Christian. I never said anything about going to heaven. See, but that's the way religion has taught us. We have to understand that we came out, all of mankind came out of that Christ. And if a person did not come out of that Christ, they don't exist on the earth today. They don't exist. So this is very important for us to understand. Because we are not born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That was what David said in Psalm 51. But see, he hadn't understood, because Christ had not been to Calvary at that time, and so he didn't understand, you know, the basis upon which God was speaking. So, it says here now, in verse 28, for in him we live. That's in Christ, we live. In him we function. In him we have our being. Isn't that incredible? We have our existence in God. But oh, brother, doesn't it take us a long time to get a hold of that? Oh no, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, you know. Maybe one day, yeah, maybe one day I'll find God like that. But you see, you came out of God in that first man that was created, because in him, this is Ephesians 2 verse 10, you were created in Christ Jesus. Therefore you are the offspring of God, plus nothing. It's not what you do. You don't have to do anything to become an offspring of God. You are a child of God because you were birthed through the seed of God, which is Christ. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. So, let's just go back then to Matthew chapter 17. And it says here, he spake many things, verse 3, unto them in parable, saying, behold, the sower went forth and sowed the seed. 13. And he said, when he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. These are your carnal thoughts. The thoughts that come from your carnal, deceived mind. And so, it says, some fell on the stony places, the hard heart, where there was not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up. But because there was no deepness of earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and they had no root, and I just withered away. And then some fell among the thorns. So you can see that the seed of God has had a hard job finding its true reason for being. Because Christ, he came into this world. And Christ is in every one of you today. And he is the seed. Well, now, where's the seed then? Why is the seed out on the pavement? Why is it out on the walkway? Why is it out there? Because we believe that it's out there. Why is it, fallen amongst, where does it say here? That the fowl of the air come along and they eat it and it's gone. How can we believe that to be true? Then it says here, some fell in stony places where it had no way to actually germinate and to grow properly. Well, how can we believe all this? We can only believe this because our carnal mind has gotten in the road and tried to interpret it all for us. Hence, the parable of the sower. You see? But what is the truth about the sower? He sowed the seed, all right, but he put the seed where it was needed. In you. In you. In you. And in you. You hear this? It's not out there on the side of the path. It's not out there amongst the rocks. It's not out there among the thorns. It's not out there where the birds can pick it up and take it away. It's in you. It's in you. Are you hearing this? You know, many of these things we slip over, don't we? I mean, you've heard the parable of the sower 1,000 times, you know. And you see, that's the problem, you see. We've sowed the seed to you people, but you didn't pick it up, you didn't get it. And so it's gone now, you know, either the birds have taken it or it's lost because you didn't pick it up. And therefore you're going to go not to heaven, to some other place, you see. But that's not true. God put the seed in you. Oh God, help us. So, he says here, in verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, word of the kingdom. Yeah, you don't hear that much spoken about today in any of the churches. The church has just forgotten about the kingdom altogether. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. What is the word of the kingdom? It must have something to do with sowing the seed. The word of the kingdom is that this world in which we live is the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's the rule of Jesus Christ. It's the rule of Jesus Christ. Well, you say, I don't see Christ ruling in our world today. I mean, well, you know, how does this work? Because I don't see where he's ruling. I mean, we've got a lot of crazy people in governments today, not just in your country, but in a whole lot of other countries. And what's going on? You say that the king is ruling today? Yes, sir. The king is ruling today. But we don't understand that because we can't see the king ruling. You know why? Because we ate from the wrong tree. We ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what you see in the world. You see the good and evil when you can't find God. Where are you going to find God amongst the good and evil? You won't, and you can't. Because God is God from eternity past to eternity to come. God is the ruler of the universe. He's the universe. He is the ruler of the universe. the kingdom of God. We are told in the kingdom of God there are no sick people. In the kingdom of God there is no such thing as death. In the kingdom of God nobody goes without what they need in terms of food and so on. In the kingdom of God nobody is living in poverty. In the kingdom of God the king is totally responsible for you. And as it is at the moment, the world out there looks into the church and says, now wait a minute, you have divorce among your people in the church, we have divorce out there, you get cancer, we get cancer, you have all kinds of funny things happen to you, we have the same funny things. Hey, your king is no better than our king. Are you hearing this? This is what the world says. And you know, from their point of view, it's true. Because here we are, still battling on. Because we all ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we've never eaten from the tree of life. Because when you eat of the tree of life, the other tree will disappear. I don't believe that it was ever there. It's only there while you have a carnal mind, because the carnal mind has to have that other tree, because it can't explain anything otherwise. I mean, there's got to be good and evil in the world. I mean, there's got to be God, and then there's got to be, well, call him whoever you like, Satan, or whatever. So we've got the two. But no, we only have the one. There's only one God. There's only one God who is ruling on this universe. There is no good and evil. So, he says here, blessed are your eyes, verse 16, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, but they have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now he's going to tell us exactly what he was talking about when he gave this parable. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receives the seed by the wayside. So here's the whole story. He said, if you believe the seed is out there on the wayside and you missed it, if you believe that the seed is on rocky ground and it can't grow, if you believe that somehow you were not in the good soil anywhere, so the seed hasn't grown, then it's just because you have eaten from the wrong tree. So he says here, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and with joy receives it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. Oh Lord, help us. So this is what he's telling us. This is how we interpret it. And so he says, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word, with joy receiveth it, yet he has no root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So it all comes back on you. It comes back on me. The whole thing. You cannot blame the birds for you missing the seed. You cannot blame the stony ground because you don't have the Christ in reality in your life today. You can't blame anybody except yourself, because it's your carnal mind that has introduced the other aspects of the seed. He that received the seed in the stony places, here, verse 22, is he that receives seed among the thorns is the one that hears the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becomes untruthful. So, that's what happens. But, here it is, here's your answer. Verse 23. He that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold and some 30-fold. But everybody reproduces. So if you're not reproducing today, don't blame God. Don't blame the sower, because it comes back on you. God is trying to tell us today that he planted the seed in you, and that seed is Christ. And if that seed is Christ, then you have the seed in you. It's not out by the hard pathway. It's not out beside the thorns. It's not out where the birds can take it and it'll disappear. It's in here. But you have not used the seed of God. And that means that the male and the female of your spirit have never been put back together. So I'm going to finish this morning as we turn to the Song of Solomon again, chapter 1. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Why? Because he's your husband. He's your husband. And your husband is Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. What's it say? Paul says, I have bequeathed you to one husband. That's all. And that husband is not the man sitting beside you. Your husband is Christ. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. People say, you know, but that can't be true. You can't talk about God kissing you. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. When you understand that you're a part of God, you're a part of God. We are all the female part of God himself. So it says, because of the savour of your good ointments, thy name is as an ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. And of course that's speaking about a perfume. You know the perfume that the ladies love to wear, and when they walk past you, you know they've got it on too. Why do they use the perfume? To attract. Not the flies. Somebody else. Draw me, he says, verse 4, and we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. What's his chambers? Oh, that's the chambers in which the love making takes place and the birthing takes place. And he wants to take you into the birthing chamber. In Israel's day, that was the mother's house. Remember how that when Isaac received Rebecca as his wife, the first thing he did was to take her into his mother's house. Why? Because she's going to help that young lady, tell her all the ins and outs of bringing forth and so on. But now that's just a kind of a parable again. But it says here, he brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice, and we will remember thy love more than wine, the upright love thee. And I tell you, when you have made love with him, you will never, never want anybody else. This is the reality of the Christ in us. Now, many of you are married here, and so am I. But I want to tell you that the relationship that we have with our husband is just a shadow of the relationship that we have, each one of us, with Christ. Because after that woman was taken out of the man, we all believe that we have lost the woman. Therefore, we all became the woman. And the woman was never created. But we all became the woman. And we've got to find ourselves again as the Son of God. Not as a woman. And I believe that there is a day coming when this truth is going to become reality for God's people. And then there's going to be a tremendous change that will take place on this earth. Because until we can reproduce out of the Christ, then all of humanity out there is going to remain where they are, still searching for the seed. It's out there by the highway, it's out there by the thorns, we've got to watch the birds because they're going to come and take it away. All of this, you see. This is what's going on today. This is all in the church scene. But today, I want to tell you, every one of you are male and female, functioning together as one. Why? Because that's what God is. God is male and female. And you were created in his likeness and in his image. Therefore, you are exactly whatever he was. So our reproduction is not with the seed of man, which you women have to receive from the man because you don't have it. But see, that seed is just the seed of man anyway, so it's not going to do you any good to produce what God wants to produce in the world today. It's the seed of God, which is Christ. And Christ is male and female, functioning together as one. And he that is joined to the Lord. Why? Well, because Paul said, I've bequeathed you to one husband. That's all, just one husband. That's not the man sitting beside you. That is Christ. Now, I don't mean you've got to divorce the fellow sitting beside you, or you men have got to divorce your wife. Because, see, one day, I was looking at my wife out there after God revealed this to me. And it just suddenly hit me. What am I going to do with this woman out there now? If she's not my true wife, like this woman out here, I said, what am I going to do, Lord? What am I going to do with this woman out there? He said, you simply take her and put her back where she belongs in here. Because this is where she belongs. The Spirit is in me, and this is the bride of the Christ. Oh, my, you mean to say my wife is the bride of Christ? Yes, sir. Not like some churches. We were churches in the world today who say, we are the bride of Christ, nobody else, just us. You got to know our doctrines if you want to be the bride of Christ. Rubbish. Every one of you are the bride of Christ. Every one of you. Because Christ is male and female functioning together as one. And when you discover the truth of this, then you will find that you will become fruitful. And you will find that you can reproduce what God requires. That is, you can reproduce Christ. And when you reproduce Christ, what happens? You have reproduced all of mankind on this earth. So when it says that in the days to come, every knee will bow to Jesus Christ, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, how do you think that's going to happen? Is it going to happen because we go out and preach the gospel? I don't think so. Not the gospel the church has been preaching. Well, how's it going to happen? It's going to happen when you and I understand we are male and female. We are spirit, which is male and female. And that male and female, when it becomes joined to the Christ, because he's the male in every case, Christ is the male for every one of us. And when we become one with him, then we can reproduce the seed of God. May God bless you today and help you to understand those things which your natural mind will not be able to receive, but the Spirit of God in you can reveal it to you now. Amen.
Amen.